As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from the Reverend Teresa Soto, the senior minister for the First Unitarian Church of Oakland, California. I need you to know that there is nothing wrong with you if you find the world congealed and unwieldy. You were never meant to serve money, to give loyalty to unprincipled power, to spend your joy frantically soothing yourself in order to tend wounds of being constantly dehumanized. I need you to know that your sense of injury and anger is not overdeveloped. You were meant for love and beauty. You belong where you are known and where your future is not just a resource, but a promise, which you begin to fulfill by being unmistakably, irrevocably yourself. You are not wrong.
Thank you, Rachel. I spent Friday evening and yesterday afternoon at Pride Fest Milwaukee. This was a new thing for me. I've marched in many a pride parade with various congregations and have traveled through a series of understandings of my own sexual orientation over the years I've done this. There's a thing, though, about marching in parades that suits my introverted nature really well. I can see people and be seen. I can support and celebrate. I can hold a banner or wave a flag. I can take it all in. I can do all of that without ever leaving the comfort zone of being with my people. The downside to that is that I've never really immersed myself in a pride event. So while I carried those understandings of my sexual orientation, I've never celebrated them the way people around me were celebrating. And so I never gave myself the chance to feel the beauty of acceptance of myself as I am in that space, which is, of course, one of the things pride is all about. This year, at Pride Fest, I was there to bless people. Some colleagues of mine in the Milwaukee area have created a blessing booth in the health and wellness area where there are tents set up by various churches. This was an interfaith event with clergy of different denominations. Volunteers stood outside the booth asking people as they went by if they wanted to be blessed, and then offered them a menu of possible blessings, a little check sheet. So you could check off what you want to call the divine. You could check off what blessings you needed for healing, what blessings you might need for forgiveness, and then a whole checklist of things like joy and abundance and self-image and all the things. So once they filled out their menu, the volunteers would introduce the person to one of the ministers, and we would look over their menus for guidance and then open ourselves to spirit and bless them. Many of the people I blessed were surprised at the power of the love that I called into being in their names. Some, especially people who had asked for blessings of forgiveness for self-harm or from unaccepting families, were moved to tears. Some of them looked me directly in the face with pure joy radiating from their faces as I held their hand and spoke a blessing. Many of them asked for a hug afterward. One older man, a Unitarian Universalist, admitted to me after I blessed him that he allowed himself to be drawn into the booth by curiosity, but was really quite ready to poke fun at the idea of being blessed, but that he had been truly moved when he experienced our short time together. But the most moving experience for me happened outside the booth. I was walking away from the booth toward an area where they were giving away water bottles, and I was stopped by this young woman fairly young woman, tattooed up and down, relatively skimpy clothing, colors in her hair, sparkles on her cheeks, piercings. She looked like someone that I might walk by in the street and go, ooh, she's got a little attitude. But she stopped me, and she said, because I'm wearing my, you know, my collar and my things, and she said, thank you, just out of the blue. And I was a little taken aback, and she said, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a minister and being here. My church has kicked me out and abused me. And I thought I hated God because of that. And there are clergy people here and churches here who are willing to stand with me and let me be who I am. And we talked a little bit, just a little bit. And the thing that came out of my mouth when we parted after she hugged me was, we got you. We got you. Because we're a faith that does that. We are meant for love and beauty. I saw many people celebrating this weekend, and I felt more than a few layers of stuff within those celebrations. I saw the magnificence of drag queens in the glorious fullness of their beings, stepping out into crowds and onto stages with their heads held high. I saw the raw, open sexuality of people who knew what their bodies are made for and what pleasure and joy can bring. I saw every possible expression of gender and sexual orientation shown in clothing and buttons and flags and acts of affection. I saw people carrying themselves with an air of defiance, as if to say, yes, this is me, and I'm not going anywhere. I saw reminders everywhere, as the t-shirts said, that the first Pride was a riot, in reference to the protest at the Stonewall Inn in June of 1969 after police raided a gay bar, and that the first person thought to resist that raid was a black trans woman named Martha P. Johnson. My kid is wearing that shirt today. That resistance was an insistence that it was the world that was wrong, not the gay and lesbian and transgender folks who were being marginalized, an insistence that they were meant for love and beauty, just as everyone is, a recognition that they would have to fight to be seen as worthy of that love and beauty. They were not wrong, just as GLBTQ and other marginalized folks are not wrong, despite what the dominant culture says. Nobody who believes of themselves as deserving of love and beauty are wrong. And those who don't believe of themselves as deserving of love and beauty, they need to be shown that they are. Last week during our flower communion service, I said that when we know ourselves as beauty, when we can share in beauty, we subvert the messages that we're not worthy, that we're not enough. I said, when we see each other as beauty, we remember that we share humanity with all of its gifts and all of its struggles. We remember that worth and dignity are inherent in each and every one of us, that we are part of a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. These are human traits that are so important to remember as we fight against the dehumanization of the other. We are made in the image of God, whatever that means to you, and whatever metaphorical level you'd like to hear that. There is the Genesis story of creation, the one where God creates the earth out of nothing, right? The land and the sea, and then puts the plants and the animals and finally the humans on it. With each step, the book tells us that God says, it is good. I've learned recently that another possible translation of the word that is used, that we translate as, it is good, is beautiful. It is beautiful. So in that story, God created us and all that is around us and knew it as beautiful. And then, of course, there's the science-based creation story, the one where we have learned that we're a product of a series of events over the past 14 and a half or so billion years. As the universe comes into being in this great flaring forth, and the elements and the stars and the planets form, and one of those planets happens to develop the capacity for life. And that life evolves into a huge array of beings, including humans. And the beauty there is the understanding that we're all made of that same stuff. And our ability to understand and appreciate the chain of events that had to happen, just so, for us to be one of its products. Despite those stories, despite the inherent beauty that surrounds us and flows through us, we receive messages all the time that we are not beautiful, that we should not like me, and that we are not enough. How else, of course, can we be convinced to buy the latest fashions, the diet, the exercise programs, the makeup, the hair products? But it isn't just capitalism, I think, we're fighting when we claim the rights to love and beauty for ourselves and for all. I think it's bigger than that. When we believe ourselves unworthy of love and beauty, we cannot see the love and beauty in others. We're more susceptible to those messages that some are better than others, that dehumanization and marginalization are just the way of the world. This is just how it is, right? That there are those who deserve to have wealth and power, and those who don't. We need to remember that we are in relationship with each other, that the beauty in that relationship is not to be dismissed, that it is to be acknowledged and seen, that it can be the basis for remembering that all of us are made for love and beauty, that it is a deep wrong to treat anyone as if that were not true. A thing that I've heard about pride, but have never experienced myself, because of the distance I've been able to keep, is that this is woven into the culture. So on Friday evening, after my shift at the blessing booth was over, I took off my clergy collar, and I took a big breath, and I pinned on a decal with the colors that identified me as pansexual. A pansexual is a person who's attracted to people of all genders. And I wandered over to the pavilion where there was dance music and lights and performers of every shape and color and identity that I could imagine, all acting as if they knew they were beautiful. It felt good to be in that space. So I let myself loosen up. I let myself open to that kind of wild energy that was in that room, and I let myself dance as if no one were watching, because I could, because maybe no one was, and if they were, I was as beautiful as everyone else. In that space, we were all just humans learning to understand that we were indeed beautiful, and the beauty was in the joy we felt at simply being ourselves. I want that to be possible in every space I occupy. Because as Teresa Soto wrote, you belong where you are known and where your future is not just a resource but a promise, which you begin to fulfill by being unmistakably, irrevocably yourself. And you are beautiful. May it be so. And may we be so.